Dearest gentle listener, welcome to this episode of Folklore, Food and Fairy Tales. I have some news for you. I'm afraid to say that as all tales come to an end, so will this podcast in its current format. Whilst I still love stories and food history and the connections between them, I have been struggling with the motivation to write new episodes in this format, and I think you've probably enjoyed the episodes less because I've enjoyed writing them less. After 3, or even more than 3 years of your support and interest, I hate to deliver less than you've come to expect. I do still enjoy telling food-related tales, however, so I will continue to release 1 or 2, depending on their lengths every month, but there won't be any analysis, folklore or food history attached. I will also continue with my newsletter of the same name, the link to which can be found in the show notes, where there'll still be snippets of food, folklore and food writing, often with a short tale thrown in. My other news is that I will be starting a new podcast in March, which has developed out of some of my personal experiences, changes in the world, and my research over the last year into food and death, and the folklore and ritual that surrounds it. The new podcast is called A Question of Death, where will I try and explore and improve our relationship with death through respectful inquiry. I hope to promote open and honest discussion about death through conversations with those who work with the dead and grieving, as well as those who study death. There will also be episodes examining death through a lens of history and the arts, folklore and food. I'll take you from ancient funerary rituals to forensic anthropologists, via green burials and Persephone's pomegranates, learning on the way what death can teach us about living. I hope that hearing the experiences and stories of those who work with or are closely aligned with death will provide listeners with some of the knowledge and empathy needed to navigate this hidden world, as well as shine a light on the kindness and tenderness displayed by those professionals who truly take care of our dead. If this sounds like something that interests you, you'll hopefully be able to find me wherever you find your podcasts. The first episode will be hopefully in March. The podcast website will have more news, aquestionofdeath.co.uk. In the meantime, I'd like to finish this, last episode as it were, in this format, with a wonderful food story, which I heard from Ady Douglas, who heard it from Taffy Thomas, who heard it from a Padstow fisherman, Tommy Morrissey. So if you're listening comfortably, I'll bring you Davy and the Fishes. I don't know, if you've spent a lot of time in Cornwall or Devon, or those wonderful places by the sea, they're amazing to visit, but sadly not overly filled with jobs, not for young people. Now Davy could tell you more about that. The only job that Davy could really find at the age of 18 was working for an old fisherman. Every day they went out to sea and the skipper dumped the catch on the deck, and Davy's really quite horrible job was cutting off fish heads and taking out the insides, the really squidgy, horrible bits. Davy hated that part of the work. And one fine day, when they were at sea, the skipper dumped a mackerel right on the deck for gutting. But it was beautiful, bigger than most mackerel. And Davy just loved the way its beautiful stripes and bright eyes and the way the sunlight glossed off his skin. And he felt the fish wriggling in his hands and he couldn't bring himself to kill it. So he hid it behind his back, and when he thought the skipper wasn't looking, he slid it back into the sea. He gave it life. But the skipper had seen, and there was a really, really big row. The old man pointed out he didn't go to sea every day, getting soaked to his skin, risking his life, risking the life of the people on board to catch fish, just for Davy to throw them back. Now, to make matters worse, Davy stood on a boat whistling. Now, you don't whistle on a fishing boat, not ever. Because if you do, you're either whistling up the wind or you're whistling up the devil. And this did not help after what happened with the skipper. And he was so angry that he sacked Davy on the spot, telling him when they got back to port, when he left the boat, he'd be leaving it forever. Now, Davy, well, he was half glad because he really did not like the job, but he was half sad. And the problem was he was going to have to go home and tell his wife he was out of work again. Now, he left the boat, climbing the ladder to the quayside, his eyes filled with tears and his mouth down. He was just sad, you could tell it, just from his shoulders as he walked along. But as he walked home, he realised he'd got some company. There was an old man walking beside him, leading what was actually a very lovely Friesian cow, you know, the black and white ones. If Davy had been in the mood to look carefully, he might have noticed 2 little horns on the top of the stranger's head, all the hooves sticking out of the bottom of his trousers, because this stranger Well, I think you know by now, it was the devil himself. That whistling hadn't come to nothing. The devil said to Davy, yes, why do you look so sad? And Davy told, well, the stranger, he thought that he'd lost his job and he'd have to go home and tell his wife and he was going to be in big trouble because how are they going to pay for everything now? The devil said to Davy that if he owned a black and white cow, he wouldn't be out of work because the cow gave the richest and creamiest milk that there has ever been. Davy and his wife would have more milk than they could drink. They could make butter, they could make cheese, they could make ice cream, or, you know, maybe even open a tea shop. Something, you know, like anyone they've always fancied doing. Now, the devil, he made a bargain with Davy, telling him he could borrow the cow for 3 years. However, when he returned to collect it, he'd ask Davy 3 questions, and if Davy couldn't answer them, he would be thrown over the devil's shoulder and carried away to burn in the fires of hell. Now, when you're 18, 3 years is quite a long time, and it seemed a long way off to Davy, and so he decided to take that bargain, shook hands with the devil, and the bargain was struck. The devil handed the rope, which was tied around the cow's neck, and headed for home. The devil did a double somersault and disappeared through the crack in the earth, and Davy, well, he thought he'd never set eyes on him again. Now, Davy's wife, she was watching out for him. When she saw him walking up the lane leading a cow, she was amazed. She thought it must be a cow wandering in the lane that he'd caught and was going to take back to the farmer. I mean, he'd brought some people home before. He'd even brought fish home before. But he never brought a cow. She rushed out to meet him, asked what was going on. And Davy told her that they were now the owner, or, you know, borrowers, of a cow who gave the richest and creamiest milk that had ever been. And then we're going to open a tea shop. Because he'd given up fishing. He neglected to mention the whole way it happened. The news of Davy and his wife's tea shop, well, it went out everywhere. And they did really well, because Davy's wife was an amazing cook. She baked the most wonderful cakes, she made the most wonderful sandwiches, and she, of course, made excellent tea. And their ice cream, well, it even won awards. Now, the problem is, when you're doing well, 3 years can go faster than you think. Davy was in the tea shop at the end of the day, mopping the floor. Just one customer, a stranger, sitting in the corner. And suddenly, there was a big bang flash of light. And there appeared old Nick, the devil himself. He was looking, well, very much himself. He wasn't disguised this time. You could see his hooves, you could see those horns, and you could see his bright red tin and his, shall we call it, a swooshy tail. He looked menacingly at Davy, telling him he'd come to collect the cow. But even worse, he'd got 3 questions for Davy to answer. And if he couldn't answer them, then he'd be collecting Davy himself over his shoulder and down to hell. He asked if Davy was ready to answer the questions. Davy was shaking and scared, terrified. And before he could utter a word, the stranger, the one in the corner, you remember him, he stood up and he said Davy was ready. And to be honest, the devil had just lost one of his questions. Now, the devil was annoyed, asking the stranger to mind his own business. Why can't you mind your own business? Well, the stranger said, well, he wasn't going to. And the devil had now really, well, asked his 2nd question. The devil was really annoyed now. He said, who are you, this interfering stranger? The stranger replied, he was the king of the fishes. And that 3 years ago, Davy had thrown him back over the tide of the boat, saving his life. And he had come to repay Davy for his kindness. But that wasn't really an important point, was it? Because the devil had asked his 3rd question. The devil realised he had been outwitted, and in a tantrum he stamped his hoof on the ground, making a hoofprint in the concrete. Stormed out of the tea shop in a sulk. In fact, he was in such a sulk, he forgot to collect the cow. Now, as far as I know, Davy and his wife are still there, and so are those cakes, and so is that ice cream, and so is that amazing tea. And if you're ever in the tea shop by the seaside, have a glance around the floor. And if you can spot a hoof print right there in the tea shop, you should say hello to Davy and his wife. You might be even lucky to try the ice cream of that wonderful black and white devilish cow. And that, gentle listener, is the end of my tale. And I hope it pleased you, for it had no other purpose. I can't thank you all enough for listening and supporting me with your wonderful comments and feedback over the last few years. You'll still be able to listen where you get your podcasts, as well as contact me via my social media contacts. And I look forward to sharing more food stories going forward. even if I won't be sharing my opinion. And that, gentle listener, is the end of the episode. And in its own old format, folklore, food, and fairy tales.